Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Perez Hilton, friend of the show, cutting himself, or what appears to have been cutting himself, for 30 minutes on a live stream and then was taken to the hospital. It seems a little performative to me. Is it real blood? It feels like paint. It looks like he's, I don't know. Maybe it's real blood. It's so hard to know. I don't want to get duped. I don't want to get duped again. I don't want to get duped again by someone trying to kill themselves on live for 30 minutes and then have it be paint. My dad tells a great story of a homeless man in New York City who would put ketchup on his clothing so he looked like he was wounded. And then people would give that guy money. But my dad said some people started to smell that it was ketchup. My dad's also a liar and full of shit, so I don't know. But that's what I'm saying here. If Perez Hilton, who was a gossip blogger from like the 2000s, if that guy is covered in paint and he's putting on a show, and then, you know, if you want to check out, folks, you could check out anytime you want. That's the reality. If you want to go, you can go. I'm not saying you should go. Obviously, probably a lot of people listening to this are thinking, should I go? Should I not go? And I'm not talking to you. Don't do that. Don't put that on me. I'm just saying the performative is not for me. You know what I mean? Like, if he wanted to kill himself, he would be dead. And is that him? Is this him? Is this a picture of him now?
No, I'll pull one up.
Now, has he spoken out since this?
I don't think so.
I'll tell you right now, early August is when the real ghouls come out in the summer. I'll tell you, this is when, yeah, there he is. That's a photo of him. And I just, you know, I wish him well. He has children. I feel like that's not a great idea. I mean, just, you know, not trying to be too judgmental. But whether he is actually cutting himself or it's fake, I still feel like it's a bad idea for the kids. Even if it's fake. Like, even if they're like, Daddy, what are you doing? He goes, shh, I'm imitating this Ariana Grande thing. And they're like, Daddy, are you hurt? And he's like, no, it's fake blood. I'm not doing a lot of the cuts are surface and they're fake. Don't worry about it. Even that, I think, not good for the kids. Even if it's pretend, I don't think the kids should be witnessing it. Well, you know, what are you going to do? That's a story. That's a legitimate story. And you're going to see more of it. You'll see more of it, and you're gonna have your. This will be a theme. Is that person actually mutilating themselves, or is this fake? Are we getting duped? I'm telling you right now, I'm not dead yet, quote, Hilton said during the broadcast. He also said, I want to be dead, and threatened to provoke police into fatally shooting him. I hope the cops shoot me to death, Hilton said. I'm going to tell them I'm going to hurt them. The live stream was later taken down by TikTok. It is funny to be on live, because what is the what are the viewers supposed to respond with? How are they supposed to handle that? I'm going to try to provoke the cops into shooting me. Okay. What are we supposed to do in that situation? Send you money? How do we get you out of that? Hey, man, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. This guy's clearly having mental issues. I'm not a doctor. But I'll tell you this, he's having mental issues, and I don't know if right now he's being a good father. That I'm asking. I'm you know, my parents, you know, were not ideal, but they never did this. If you're mutilating yourself on live stream, are you a good father? There's probably an argument here. His children should be taken away. I'm not. And I never like to talk like this. You know that. I believe in the family. It's the foundational building block of our society. But I do think if you were saying, I hope the cops shoot me to death, quote, quote, I'm going to tell them I'm going to hurt them. Mutilating yourself on live stream while discussing how you are going to trick the cops into shooting you to death feels like the kids should be taken away from him. Maybe they already have been. I don't think so, but I do think this is a good argument to take the kids away. Perez Hilton was a deeply cruel person who outed a lot of celebrities, made them shamed people, would draw penises in people's mouths in the early 2000s internet, you know, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, or whatever. He was kind of a, you know, provocateur, certainly. And he hurt a lot of people. And I think that he's regrets some of that and has moved to Miami and has become a family man. But In this video, he is seen cutting himself and trying to get the cops to kill him. So it does seem like he... Can we listen to some of this, please?
I'm surprised TikTok lets this stay. Fuck you, TikTok.
Well, there he is, folks. Perez Hilton, friend of the show. All right. We've had enough of him. We don't want to. Perez Hilton there just checking in with us and, you know, checking in and sending love and prayers and thoughts to Perez Hilton and family. Down there in Miami, what are you going to do, right? I mean, hey, it's a tough thing, and this is difficult. Trump is still threatening Iran, and it's like no one believes anything this guy says about Iran. Trump's like, we're giving you a last chance. This is every week. He goes, it's the last chance to make a deal before the decapitation starts, or whatever the hell he's saying. Hold on, let's watch a little bit of this here.
Tonight's President Trump insisting the threat of a massive U.S. strike has Iran back at the negotiating table.
They called me. And they said, please don't attack, we'll make a deal.
The price of oil plunging on the news, despite continued Iranian attacks on commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz through the weekend. Iran previously broke a ceasefire it signed in June, saying it would not attack those ships. But now the president's saying the vital shipping lane...
By the way, let's just stop this for a minute. We just can't go to war anymore. I mean, you know, we've lost that. We got to get back to the entertainment because we had that. And then it was because the whole thing, we were like, hey, we can entertain you. Also, we can kill you. But I don't know if we can do the second one anymore. So we have to get back to being really entertaining as a country. It's the only way out of this. Truly, it's the only way out of this is to be incredibly entertaining now. No more bullshit. We cannot win any wars. We have to just fucking boom. I'm talking about a American Idol on steroids search for the most talented people in our country. We got to start putting them out and front and center and getting people on board again with our level of talent because we're wasting everyone's time. We can't win this war. It's deeply shameful. It's deeply embarrassing. It's a real morale killer. So what we need to do is go back to the old school America where we won you over by being entertaining and cool because we just don't have it anymore to win these wars. We can't do it. We keep threatening this country. We're going to kill you. We're going to blow you to bits. We're going to bomb your energy infrastructure. It will turn you to dust. I mean, with biblical threats, you'll be a pillar of salt. It's just threat after threat after threat. Nothing happens. And it's really demoralizing. All we can do is talk and bluff, and they know we're bluffing, and we're we'll fucking attack the energy infrastructure. We'll invade Karg Island. We'll put boots on the ground. You have no idea what's coming, and then I guess there's a negotiation and we're going to have a deal and then there's a deal and then that doesn't happen. And the whole thing's become a big waste of time. This isn't the way we're going to do it anymore. We need to be insanely entertaining now. To a point where we've got to get it back. We got to go back to the Wizard of Oz. We got to go back to the classics. We got to start pumping out summer blockbusters, boy bands, fucking pop stars. We got to go hard. It's true. This is all we got left. We clearly can't win this war. So we got to just go back to what made us great, which was that people really liked us. They were like, yes, they're bombing us. And yes, they're torturing us, but their music is catchy. Their TV is good. Their movies are good. You know, I mean, that's what we have to do. Let's watch a little bit more of this. But I mean, everyone in this room with him looks like no one believes this.
We're talking about the Strait, the opening of the Strait, having it open literally by tomorrow, completely open. And that's phase one. The denuclearization of Iran has to happen. Has to happen, and that'll be the second phase.
Iran is denying any talks with the U.S. are happening. Yeah, all as President Trump pulls back from massive strikes he said would involve Israel.
Here's the thing. We can't win, and anybody who knows anything about this has come out and said we can't really win, and we just can't win. There's no way to win, really. So everything we do now is just kind of some form of saving face, we're just trying to be you don't know what if we wanted to do it, we could do things you wouldn't even believe if we want, but we really can't, which is why we keep threatening them and then backing off. Cause we know that it's not going to work. This isn't going to turn the tide. If we start doing this stuff, it could potentially get worse for us. So we're going to have to run away like cowards. I mean, that's the only thing we can do. Sorry. I know that people don't want to hear that, but that's literally the only thing we have to do is run away. Run away. We got to go. Didn't work. It's a shameful summer defeat. Sorry, I didn't do it, but it's what it is. It's a shameful, deeply demoralizing summer defeat. You are being led off the field by your parents, and they are disgusted by you. You have thrown the game. The pressure was on, and you blew it. You blew it in front of the whole town, and it's over. It's what it is. Sorry. Listen, by the way, for many years in my life, I was a complete loser, and there's a way to do it with style. You can be a loser with style. That's the American promise. We lost. We'll do it with style. Let's gracefully bow out and cowardly run away with grace, with dignity, with style, class. I talk about ethos all the time because people need life insurance, and it makes getting it fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get the same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage. Some policies are as low as $30 a month. You'll get your lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers. Ethos has 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with over 4,000 reviews. So recently, I lost a family or a friend. And here's what happened. This is a crazy story. Recently, my friend's husband, we didn't know him well, but he was a nice man. When you went to the house, he was always at the grill. You know, he's one of those guys. Burgers, you know, burgers up. You want a dog? That was his steaks. You know, that was his thing. Steaks, burgers, hot dogs. He would just say that over and over again. He had no identity as a person. He was just, even in the cold winter, steaks. You want a burger? Sometimes no one would be there and he would still say it. Steaks, you want a dog or a burger? How about one of each? But there was something wrong with him. Deeply wrong with him. People started to realize that. People started to realize that because he was suffering. He was suffering. And one day the grill blew up and killed him. He's dead now. And he didn't have life insurance because he loved being outside with the grill, but it had a malfunction. So they sued the grill company. They're getting a lot of money, but you know how long that takes and whatever. He was drunk, probably did something wrong. So, but he should have had health insurance. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. That's ethos.com/Tim, ethos.com/Tim. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Tim. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Trustpilot rating out of 6 as of 6/1/2025.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
It's okay. Well, you lie about you lie. Here's the first step. You start lying about what happened and gaslighting people immediately. You start lying about what actually happened. We can do it. You have to make stuff up now. You have to make stuff up. You have to gaslight people. You have to lie to them. You have to say that Iran attacked our bases first. You have to say that they were the aggressor and we shut it down. And that they were begging us to stop attacking them. And because we were humanitarians, we had to do it. There's a way to do this. Now, everyone will know that we're lying, but everyone always knows you're lying. That's okay. Everyone knows you're lying. When fat people say they don't eat a lot, people know they're lying. When people go, I'm not really on drugs, they know you're on drugs. When you go to rehab and you say, actually, it was Lyme disease, we know it's not Lyme disease. You're a junkie. It's okay. Everyone knows you're lying. Lying's not for them. It's for you. It's for you. The lying shouldn't be for anyone else. It should be for us. We should lie. Because what are we going to come out and say? Well, actually, we didn't win. We couldn't win. We thought we could win. It's actually not going to happen. No, you gotta basically totally invent a narrative, and it's for us because the rest of the world now has seen us, and we've been exposed. And listen, our fighting men and women are great, but the tacticians, the people who make these decisions, the strategists, the people that were supposed to consider all of these things, the drones that changed warfare and aircraft carriers weren't going to be that effective. And like, we weren't going to be able to go in there. And like, maybe we shouldn't have killed their leader day one or whatever. All of the things we think we are the big military superpower. It's starting to dawn on us that actually we're not. That's what this war has kind of shown us. And again, it's not reflective of the troops. And I'm sure we have a lot of nukes and stuff like that, but you just can't, win like that anymore. There's nothing to win. So the reality is we just have to, as a country, and I'm fine with that, cowardly and disgracefully leave and lie about it for the rest of our lives. And I'll do it. I will lie about it for the rest of my life. I will lie to my friend. I don't have children, but I'll lie to my French children about it. I will lie for the rest of my life about the Iran war if we leave tonight. I'll say we won. And I will completely contribute to the fallacy that we won this war. We can't. I mean, here's Trump again saying that they called him and asked him not to, which, by the way, this is a little preview of what's probably going to end up happening in the future, which is that we say that they called us and asked us to not bomb them. And we said, OK, here we go.
That's the old fashioned way. To the victor. Along the spoils, right? And we're doing the same thing, by the way, in the lovely Islamic Republic of Iran. We're knocking the hell out of them.
This is, by the way, just stop it for a minute. This is what we heard in Iraq. It's a famous line from The Sopranos where Michael Imperioli's character, Christopher Moltisanti, goes, "Don't you listen to President? We're kicking the shit out of those guys over there." It's like, this is just the same thing. You're just low information people that don't really know what's going on, that don't pay that much attention. They just hear Trump because we're knocking the shit out of them, and people go, good. It makes them feel good when they're driving in their car, you know, in like a suburb of Las Vegas or something. And he goes, we're knocking the shit out of them, and people go, good, 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 good. By the way, he's standing. There's a banner that says no tax on tips behind him. As he talks about us, as he's basically, again, lying about us losing a war. Like that we thought we were going to win. Like people thought we were going to win. People, this is like really shocking how bad this has gone. It's like, it's scary. By the way, it's actually scary how bad this has gone. You're like, wait a minute. What if we fight Russia? Like, how does that work? What if we fight? What about China? Forget that. Like, this is such an eye-opener for a lot of people. They're going, whoa, well, this ain't good. This is not good. So he's standing there in front of the no tax on tips banner, And he's and he goes, we're knocking the shit out of the moment. It's the beginning of the campaign of lies that we, by the way, that I support and we need to have. We need to have a campaign of lies and propaganda. Let's just get out of there. And then we'll just lie about it. And it will be for us. The lies are for you. Fatty Boom Batty, who goes, well, I just don't eat that much. You know, you order the salad in front of everyone. It's the lies are for you. Everyone goes, oh, yeah, interesting. My thyroid's been, yeah, all right. It's been acting up ever since I was young. You know, I got a fever when I was 3 and I had a rash. So then since then, I just, you know, it's never really. Sure. It's all for you. When I was a cokehead and I was just blowing lines all the time in the bathroom and then walking back to my desk at work, people were like, oh, how are you? How have you been? And you're like, good. And then later on, you said to them, you're like, oh, when you met them, you're like, wow. So when I knew you, I was like on drugs. And they were like, oh, yeah, we knew. Everyone knows. We knew that. Of course we did. We thought you were going to die like 3 times. The lies are for you, but they're still important and they still matter. Even though they're for you, because you can lie so much that people just accept it as a version of truth. That's the reality. You can lie so much. Now, listen to me. Mel Robbins won't tell you this. Mel, or she kind of will. She just says it in another way. $35 million a year on that podcast. What? What is she, trafficking humans? She got, she's fucking... How is Mel Robbins making $35 million a year? Is she importing dogs stuffed with cocaine? Anyway, we love her. We love her. And congrats on all of her success. But it's like you can lie enough, people just accept the version of it is the truth because people just get tired of it and it all gets murky. That's the thing in life. Things just become gray and murky. You go, yeah, I heard something about that, I guess. Yeah, that guy keeps saying this thing. I guess that is... Wait, he had a business somewhere? Yeah, I think he did. He just keeps saying that. It was probably based on something. Because if you lie enough, people are forced to go, well, I guess it's based on a nugget of truth. It's not. By the way, it's not. But if you lie enough, people will assume that the thing you're lying about was at some point partially true. That's the beauty of it. Now, of course it wasn't. It was completely invented. It was hatched. It's completely untrue. But if you lie enough to a point where people go, well, yeah, we know he's lying, but I'm sure there's some truth in there somewhere. And there's not. That's the win. There's actually not. That's the best we can do here. No one will believe us, and no one should. But if we lie about this enough, someone in the future will go, I guess there was some nugget of truth there. You have your version. I have my version. But no, that's not real. That's not accurate. That's objectively untrue, but it doesn't matter. So what Trump is kind of brilliantly doing is he's telling so many lies and fibs and whoppers that people will go, well, I guess at some point they called him and were like, but let's just finish this and then we'll move on here because, again, much like everything else, there's nothing really to report on. So in terms of like, you know, now it's we're recording this Wednesday because it's Saturday morning. So in the next 48 hours, we usually record Friday, but this week we have things to do that I have to leave town. So here's the deal. If something goes crazy in the next 48 hours, we'll add an addendum. But pretty much, it's been the same shit for months. So let's just finish up here. This is our president updating us on the Iran war.
I'd rather make a deal because I don't want to kill people. I do
right.
Not want to kill
you
people.
You do.
But at some point, we're going to... We were set for the biggest attack of any attack, and we've hit them very hard for the last few months. But we were all set for the biggest attack since World War II. And they called me and they said, please don't do it. Let's talk. And then they said, we never said that. You know what? The fake news knows they did say that. But we are talking. Let's see what happens. But they respect us. They respect us. Been 47 years.
By the way, I wish we could isolate. I wonder what the people in the crowd are shouting. I wish we could always have that isolated audio. Like, what are the people in the crowd shouting? You got to remember that the people that are still showing up to see him live are deranged. Like, this is the fans that you have at the end of your career. They're deranged. This isn't like the fans that you get in the beginning or middle of your career or in your prime when everyone seems to be your fan. This is at the very end of your career. There's a core group of people that are left, and they're deranged, and they're sick, and this has become their life. The people that are still showing up to see him live, unless there's some kid that got dragged there, but the people that are still showing up to see him live, he's just become their life now. They have no chance. It's like the people that follow a band. They just go, yeah, I just spent 20 years following Journey. You're like, why? I don't know. I got laid in 1988 and I just kept going. I never stopped. You go, so that's your whole life? You're like some weird roadie. You're just following Journey. Like, there were people that would just hear a band that would go to a concert. This is true. They would go to a concert and they would connect. You know, the Dead has a ton of these people. There's a ton of these people. They just go to a concert and they go, this is it for me. This is all I need. A friend of the devil was a friend of mine, you know. And they go, that's it. I just want to be high listening to this song over and over again. I just want to go to this concert. So I kind of follow their tour bus. I check into a hotel and I see as many shows as I can. And sometimes they play a song they haven't played in a while, and sometimes the set list is a little different. But for the most part, you know, they're playing the hits. And Trump, the people that are still seeing Trump now, these are just lifer people that are like, no one's curious anymore about this. There's no one coming out that's like curious. Like, for a while, people are like, what are Trump rallies like? People now that are there are hardcore Trump people that don't know how to get out, by the way. They want someone to wave a wand and like the spell breaks, but they can't. They just, his melodious voice, and they just can't get away from it. Let's finish up here. I know there's only a few seconds left. I'm just, roll it back a little bit because I really just roll it back. I'm curious about the screaming. You got to realize the people are screaming. And it just kind of speaks to my point that the people that are still there live, they're still seeing this live. I mean, there's real sickness. Let's see here.
We were set for the biggest attack of any attack, and we've hit them very hard for the last few months. But we were all set for the biggest attack since World War II, and they called me. And they said, please don't do it. Let's talk. And then they said, we never said that. You know what? The fake news knows they did say that. But we are talking. Let's see what happens. But they respect us. They respect us. It's been 47 years, but really it's been 50 years because they've been saying 47 for 3 years. It's been 50 years. And no other president has done what you should have done a long time ago because Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, and they start clapping in the end. You know, they don't know what's going on anymore. And it's very odd. Like it's spun out of control in a way where, like, they don't know because they're a little uncomfortable while he's talking about this because none of it really makes any sense. Like we said, it's kind of like he's like, they called us. They said, don't do it. We were going to hit them hard. They called us, said, don't do it. Now they're saying they didn't call us, but we're still talking. And the people trying to follow along with this, they can't. So they're just, you know, they're drunk and they're on like pharmaceutical pills. And they're screaming, liars, about Iran. I don't think about him. They're like screaming like, Iran's a lie. The fake news. And they're just like, they're like foaming at the mouth. They're like, fake news. They're just screaming, fake news. You know, liars, fake news. And then at the end, he goes, let me hit the core point. He goes, Iran shouldn't have a nuclear weapon. And then everybody claps. You're like, okay, that we kind of understand that. They go, we kind of understand that. But nobody understands what's even happening anymore. And he's got to do this live show, which is what he does. He's just a traveling entertainer at this point. So he is. He's a traveling entertainer. So I kind of like understand like what he's doing. It's like, and people have said this about him before. They liken him more to a stand-up comedian or like a showman. It's P.T. Barnum. Like, he just shows up and he's got to sell this to people. And, you know, he just kind of goes off the cuff and he just kind of goes, yeah, you know, we were the biggest attacks since World War II. We're going to kill everyone. We're going to kill them all. And everyone's sitting there and they're nodding. They go, good, yeah, good. Maybe that's a good idea. Kill them all. He goes, yeah, we're going to do the biggest attacks since World War II, which is crazy if you listen to that. That's so crazy to say. We were going to do the biggest attack since World War II. He's just throwing it out casually. This is a guy that didn't want to go to war. He goes, we've wasted all this time and money going to war. And he goes like this. He goes, yeah, we're all ready to do the biggest attack since World War II. And it's kind of silent after he says that because even the people there are like, really? Well, what? We're doing that? He goes, yeah, we're going to do it. But they called us and they said, hey, please don't do that. And he goes, fine. So it's basically we're at a point now. His presidency's over. I mean, now he could still inflict some more damage, but like this war has totally dominated and ruined his presidency. There will be no other topic that he can really work on besides trying to extricate us from this war. So he's kind of become a, you know, kind of this lame duck even before the midterms. I think they'll probably get shellacked in the midterms. And, you know, this is the thing. If you go to war with Iran, no other president did it because a lot of people knew that this was the one this was the unwinnable one. This was the one that was going to explode because all the other ones were fake, but we could always kind of say we won. We're like, yes, Saddam's dead and the Taliban's out. They're back. But, you know, there was like, well, you could kind of bluff and lie and say you kind of won. We kind of won that one. You know, the leader's dead. We killed a bunch of leaders. But Iran was like the one where people are like, yeah, this is the one that we're going to get, you know, it's going to be difficult for us to just say mission accomplished and declare victory. And lo and behold, they were right. Lo and behold, they were correct. America is about to celebrate its 250th birthday, and we already have. What's more American than celebrating with some Oreos, fried corn dogs, and all that stuff? Here's what's more American. Suing someone. It's true. There's nothing more American than suing someone who's wronged you, especially if it's a corporation. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm with over 100 offices nationwide, more than 1,000 lawyers. With over $30 billion recovered for over 500,000 clients, Morgan & Morgan has a proven track record of fighting to get you full and fair compensation. In Florida, Morgan & Morgan just secured a $644 million verdict for a client after the defense argued the victim and his wife should receive nothing. When hiring Morgan & Morgan, it's like hiring an army to fight against big insurance. If you were injured by the negligence of another, you deserve to be paid. Their fee is free unless they win. That's my favorite part. Go to forthepeople.com/Tim. For the people, forthepeople.com/TIM, or dial pound law from your phone. Pound law. This is a paid advertisement. If you or a loved one is ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. To learn more, go to forthepeople.com/Tim or click the link in the description below. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand used by over 1.5 million people. It has a formula built for men at different life stages. Nutrafol Men for guys 18 to 49 and the new Nutrafol 50 Plus, which is the first product of its kind specifically made for men over 50. This is about thinning hair. And Nutrafol will address the key root causes of thinning hair wherever you're at in life. So if you want to grow visibly thicker, fuller hair in 3 to 6 months, I think you should use Nutrafol. It's backed by peer-reviewed studies and an NSF certified for sport, the gold standard for supplement quality. You know exactly what you're putting in your body. Start Nutrafol today and make that hat optional. Visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code TIM for $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TIM. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code TIM. Nutrafol, your hair is thinning, but you take Nutrafol, and now you're winning. Take your hat off, now there's hair on your head. Influencer allegedly killed by husband after accusing him of pedophilia on TikTok. Do we have her TikTok where she accused him? We do have this. So this is a sad story, but it's a modern love story, right? And this is a sad story here, but this is going to be, you know, I think, unfortunately, one of those things that you're not, this isn't the last one of these, but which is a bummer. That's a bummer. But this isn't going to be the last one of these things. There's going to be a lot of stories where you're going to do, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of stories where someone's going to do something on social media and then an hour later, someone's going to go to their house and kill them. That's going to be like a big trend. Trending topic. Hey, hashtag, here's what's going to happen. Someone's going to do something on social media and then an hour later, their body's going to be found. That's coming. Because it'll be the last straw. It'll be the last straw. Someone is going to just, they're going to see something you did on social media, and then they're going to go, this is the last straw for me. I am coming to your house, and I'm going to kill you. And we don't love that, but that's what's going to happen. Because here's what, social media is no longer fun, by the way. I don't know if you've been on the internet recently. Social media is no longer like a hoot. It's not fun. It's not really that fun anymore, social media. It's not social. It's not fun. Anyone meeting any new friends? Anyone having any goofs on social media? No. Social media is now in its final phase, which is how to get people killed as quickly as possible. Nobody's excited to go on social media. Nobody wakes up and goes on their phone and they're like, hooray, I'm on the phone. Social media consists of like a few different like columns of social media. There is the political, which is a big one, okay? There is the influencer column, which is another one that is very big, which is people that are hawking products, services, things like that, you know, everything you can imagine. There is the fitness social media, which is a lot of like, it also goes, it's also like weirdly, that's also political, a little bit of the men's rights stuff. They go in the bucket. These are buckets. These are the social media buckets. You've got politics. You've got influencers. A lot of it's food. The majority of it's food. These are the top 10 restaurants in the West Village. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's what a lot of that is. Like, obviously there's beauty products. There's other things. There's travel influencers. If you want to go to Mallorca, this is how to do it on less than $30 a day. Suck cock or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they, you know, I sucked a cock and was able to stay at a man's chateau for free. While choking down a cock of an elderly man, I realized this was the most cost-effective way to see Mallorca. So then you have that bucket. Then you have this bucket of like, young people complaining that pedophiles keep bothering them. And some of them are annoying. Like, obviously, the pedophiles should be in jail, but, like, the young people are also annoying. They're like, and a lot of them are, like, adults, and they're like, all they do is pose naked all day, and they're like, people got to stop commenting on my body. It's like, well, what are you doing? You know? Like, because, like, there'll be a young person, you know, like doing, like, fitness stuff. And then the first comment will be like, what is that? What's that mouth do? And you're like, all right, well, this is obviously inappropriate. And then the young people will go on and they'll be like, everyone in my DMs is trying to buy my socks. This sucks. And it's like, all right, yeah, but you're kind of, I'm not saying it's right, obviously. But it's like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? Stop putting your ass out on Instagram. That's a bucket. That's like a bucket. Another bucket of social media is the, like, angry mom bucket where you go, it's a mom. I bet the mom's happy. Oh, no, they're not. That's not a happy mom. That mom is pissed. And it's a mom who is angry. It's an angry mom. She's pissed and she doesn't like it. And sometimes she'll be going off on someone that wronged her at the rec center pool or something. I don't know, but this is like, it's just angry. So what I mean to say here is that social media, for whatever it was intended for, this is not like a fun thing anymore for anyone. No one's like excited, but like nobody's on it being really, really like pumped about being on it. Everybody's kind of like, people just don't, it's like us with the Iran war. You just don't know how to get out of it. You're like, how do I get out of it? How do I get out of it? It's hard to get out of. But nobody's excited anymore about it. It's not like, you're not discovering cool new things. You know, that's what it is. It's like, it's become a kind of hellscape of all these different like genres of social media. And then there'll be like the nicest thing on it. It'll be like someone who sings. Well, the nicest thing on it will be like someone who's like disabled and 800 pounds, but is a beautiful singer. That's like the nicest thing on social media. That's the nicest thing on social media is like someone in a wheelchair on oxygen. They will push up to a mic and they will take away their mask and they'll be like, I can show you the world. Shining. And everyone starts clapping and they're like, wow. And then they sing the song and die immediately. And they're like, hooray. And then they die and everyone clap. Like that's the nicest thing is like people that have problems singing a pretty song. That's the nicest thing you'll find is like people that have had a rough go of it singing a pretty song. But now let's watch this story because this is really what it's becoming where people are using social media as a way to kill their ex. Take it away.
To a shocking case out of Oklahoma where a mother was allegedly killed by her estranged husband after she jumped on a TikTok trend.
Preparing for when Netflix drops a documentary about my soon-to-be ex-husband who I just found out is a pedophile. Whoa, she's throwing out. Interesting.
All right, so that is Sarah Gilson there accusing her husband of being a pedophile to more than 30,000 followers. The post is part of a social media trend that mimics Netflix documentaries.
It's part of a social media trend called My Husband's a Pedophile. It's a new TikTok trend. No,
documentaries as people pretend to sit for an interview. After posting this, Gilson was dead. Shot by her husband, Jeremiah Duffy, according to police, he then took his own life. Gilson had been granted an emergency protective order against Duffy in June after he was accused of molesting a minor. We'll stay on top of this story and bring you any updates as they come in.
All right. Well, but that, listen, here's the deal. You know, this is what is going to happen, and it's going to happen more and more frequently because I was around for the beginning of social media. And the beginning of social media was like, you could go back to like MySpace. I wasn't really on MySpace. You could go all the way back MySpace and Friendster or whatever, but I'm talking more about Facebook, early Twitter. Early Instagram. Facebook was the beginning of social media for most people. And it you know, was a way for you to kind of reconnect with people you went to school with. You could share certain things about your life. It wasn't algorithmically driven. So you just put stuff out there and then people kind of commented on it. And then, you know, people interacted with your posts and you got random people, but you had to add them as friends. You could remove them if you wanted to, whatever. You can still do that, obviously. But it wasn't like you didn't go on it and feel like you were being programmed. And you would get angry. you would be angry because you'd read things you disagreed with, but you knew who wrote them. You knew, so you could be like, well, she's a bitch. She's a drunk. Her and her fat husband can fuck off. There was something nice about that. There was something nice about being able to look at the pictures of the people you disagreed with and go, fuck you. Fuck you and your boat. Whatever. Shitty boat. Like, there was a familiarity to it in the beginning. It wasn't all sunshine and roses, but there was something about it that made a little more sense. It was sort of like something that you could understand, even though the effects of it were not always good. You could understand it. You could contextualize it. It had some sense. Now it has gotten to the point where it has a negative impact on people's lives almost exclusively, by the way. Like a negative impact on people's lives almost exclusively. Yes, there are some nice stories of whatever, but it's people, you know, hawking courses to learn how to drop ship. You could be a better businessman, smash your face with the hammer, take these drugs. You'll look better. If you get hotter, your life's better, blah, blah, blah. You know, or it's somebody who's telling you where you should go to eat or where you should go on vacation, and then you feel like shit because you can't afford those things. Or it's somebody who pisses you off with a political opinion, or it's somebody who tells you that you should actually take another look at whatever historical event. All of it now predominantly is none of, very little of it is useful. Very little of it is actually useful, and it's very hard to connect it, the benefits of it, to your life. Unless you want to go insane. Unless you go, I want to go insane. And then you go, well, this makes a lot of sense. Watching a blogger from the 2000s cut himself for 30 minutes. Nobody even, what? The benefits of this are not too apparent anymore. So what you're going to see, more of is probably people cut it out of their lives, or it's going to just, you're going to see a lot more of this. You're going to see a lot more people getting killed.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. while it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Georgia family losing their generational home to make way for an AI data center. I got to be honest with you. Let's talk about this because the data centers are coming and a lot of these families, I just don't have the patience for these families. They keep going, oh, the water in my house is brown. My home is being taken. They're putting a data center. And you're like, I just don't like people who don't like progress. I don't. And there's nothing more apparent than the benefits to me of a large data center that consumes most of the energy in the area and uses it to power artificial intelligence to do all of the jobs that people used to do. That to me is a very clear-cut use of resources to better people's lives. And it bothers me that there are people out there that are very sick that for whatever reason are afraid of progress and they are not on board with this and they are shaking their fist at the sky, very get off my lawn energy. And they say, we want water and we want energy and we want jobs. And I'm here to tell you that that is the old way of life. Water, energy, and jobs are the old way of life. You don't get that. We can't give you the water and the energy. How are we going to run the data center? The data center is the new thing. It's going to power the future of America are these data centers. Now, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a lot of homegrown terrorists. Now, the FBI already probably watches the show. Now, they're really going to watch it. And I'm not, let me say this right now. I am not for this. Let me say it clear. I'm not for this at all. But I can imagine a world where we have homegrown terrorists that start to attack these data centers. It's kind of already starting to happen. But I can certainly imagine a world where we see more and more of this as people resist their own extermination, which I'm not for. I'm not for people resisting their own extermination. Let me be very clear to the federal government. I believe people should silently become extinct and not bother anybody. I am not for people trying to fight their own extermination. They should walk into extinction quietly and gracefully and with dignity. So I'm saying this for the federal government right now. I'm telling this right now for JD and Teal and the whole gang, the whole kit and caboodle. I would never want to see a beautiful data center maimed by any of these sick people. I believe people need to accept their fate, accept the reality of where we are, that they are simply not needed. Their right to life, blah, whatever that even is, their right to exist, their right to autonomy, their right to freedom, their right to water or whatever. What even is that? Is water in the Constitution? I think not. And thou shalt, or whatever, the 10, you know, commandments. Thou shalt have water. No, no, no. The Bill of Rights, you have the right to water? I think not. So here's the deal. I could imagine a world in which people start attacking these data centers because they resist their own extinction. Now, I don't want that world. I don't want that world. I want a world, like all the tech people, I believe that the best way forward is to exterminate the human race. I believe that's the only thing we could. And I understand there's questions about that. I get it. I understand that there's questions about the pace of that, the timing of it. Totally. And those are fair questions. It's fair to ask those questions. When am I out of here? Very fair. I support everyone. As long as those questions don't become like some weird justification to resist the inevitability that you are leaving the planet. That's all. You have to accept that. And that's what the tech people have said. And they've been, and let's be honest, they've been pretty open about that. And I think we owe them the respect because they're pretty open. They go, listen, we don't know how and when, but the reality is you are not needed anymore. We don't need you. We don't like you. We don't like your customs and traditions and little religions, your families, your children. We don't need any of it. We're building the data center. We're building the data center. It used to be, there used to be like a town. Now we have a data center. And there's all going to be these old school mining towns where they hire all these people to work for 6 months and they're going to build the data centers. And then immediately those people will be discarded and thrown away. But here's the deal, everybody. The data center is going, it's the new town. Pull up town, small town at Christmas and hit image. Small town Christmas, hit image. Hopefully they show us like a town square. This could be any holiday, by the way. Let's try to find a real one. I love that Google can't show us any of the real ones anymore. It's all just fake. Is there any type of, blow that up. Make that big. There you go. Here you go. This was the old world. Now, Google data center and hit image. Show us the big data center. Show us that. Make that big. That's the new world. You got to get on board. You saw the old world. This is the new world. That's the old world. Carriages, people in the street, buildings lit up, people making mirth and merriment, drinking, eating. Now show us the new world. Data. Data. Information. Data. AI. So now we're going to watch this news story, but there's some very sick people in our country that want to resist the data centers, and they want clean water, and they don't want to be put in some type of encampment. And this is wrong. It's wrong. This is wrong. I do believe that. There's no reason that people should view their humanity as a permanent fixture of their time here. That's crazy. Yes, you're a human for now. You are here today and tomorrow. Whether you get to exist in the future, what business is that of yours? Relax. We're still figuring it out. Let's take CBS mornings here. Now these people know they're on. This is Barry's network. Barry Weiss. These are the highest journalistic standards and integrity because Barry Weiss is over here running the show. Barry Weiss, friend of the show, media maven, Miss Weiss. Let's watch this.
Welcome back. Some homeowners in Georgia are being given an ultimatum to sell their homes, or the state will get this, take it to make way for AI data centers.
Yes,
CBS News.
Of course. So what's the problem?
I'm a single mom. I worked hard for everything.
How do you put a price on a
home
you never intended to sell? One filled with more than two decades of memories.
I think I was 5 or 6 when this was built.
The yard where you buried your pets.
Hold on, right now. I don't want anyone listening to this show anymore. If you can't see why this woman and her children should be kicked out of their home to build a data center, I don't want you to listen to the show. Truly, I don't want you to listen to the program. If you can't see the need to kick this family out of that home so that they can build a data center for Kevin O'Leary, I don't want you to listen to the show. If billionaires cannot kick families out of their generational homes to build data centers, I don't want to live in this country. Sorry. And I don't want you listening to the show. If there's even a small part of you, if there's even a tiny smidgen of you that says to yourself, hey, that does seem a little fucked up, fuck you, man. I want my billionaires to be happy. And they like data centers. Here's the thing about billionaires. They love data centers. They like having sex with children, and they like data centers. I don't know what they like more. It's like, oh, children, gotta fuck them, but also data centers, oh, I love it. It's hard. What do they like more? Children on an island who they kill or data centers? Hard to know. But we want them to be happy because otherwise, blah, blah, China, blah, blah, China, China, we'll lose to China, blah, blah, China, China, blah, blah, China, China, blah, China. So that's just the truth. If you have any objection to this mother and her children being thrown on the street for a data center, I say to you, China, China, blah, blah, China, China, blah, China, losing China, China, blah, China. What's your response to that, dummy? Let's watch the rest of this, please.
House that fed your family.
When you talk about what being on this property means to you,
yeah,
right? It's y'all's.
It's ours. It's our family. We belong here.
No, you
don't. Ansley Brown's childhood home likely won't be here much longer. That's because the state's largest utility, Georgia Power, says it needs the area to make way for a 35-mile-long transmission line.
Yes.
Georgia Power has been here for as long as Ansley's mother has owned this property. It's just beyond the tree line. Now, with the expansion of this latest project, they're looking to take the 2.5 acres the house sits on.
Georgia Power says increasing demand has outpaced the capacity of its existing grid, and building a new transmission line requires acquiring more than 300 parcels of land, including residential properties.
What did your mom tell you she wanted for this property to be?
Generational wealth, true generational wealth was the idea.
Well, hold on, honey. Slow down. Slow it down. Generational wealth. Hold on. Maybe they're the greedy ones. Are they the greedy ones? Are they the greedy ones? Are these people the greedy ones? And are the billionaires good? In a world where moral questions are complicated, billionaires are greedy, but so are the people in Georgia. In a world where decisions are made based on information. All right, so let's keep listening to her. Maybe she makes a good argument here, because her argument is this so far. I don't want to be thrown in the street for a data center. Keep going.
Georgia Power estimates 70% to 80% of the power on this new line is expected to help serve data centers. It says the remaining 20% to 30% of power will serve the state's growing residential and commercial demand.
Georgia Power told us that they feel as if they've done this process responsibly.
Yes.
What would you say to that?
I disagree. You can't tear down 35 miles of rural Georgia and it not hurt something or somebody. And to say that you're doing it in the name of data centers is a slap in the face to us, our community, our animals.
Brown's mother.
Hold on for a minute. Can you stop? I don't love her attitude. I don't love her attitude. I just don't love her attitude. I'm trying to understand her point of view. It's very difficult. Should we not have the data center? Well, what about China? What if China wins this AI race? I don't get it. Like, I'm trying to wrap my head around what her point is. I'm supposed to care that she has a greenhouse? We're fighting China. So I guess the point is that I know it's sad that you have to leave, but like people want data centers. People really like AI, you know, especially if they have money. People without money don't like AI, but these people with money think it's going to be great. You ever listen to a criminal talk about AI? It's their favorite thing. Criminals love AI. They love it. They love it. Why don't we send these this family to Miami so they can sit down with a couple of Adderall snorting criminals and talk about AI? I'm sure they'll feel better. Don't they understand that they should be using AI to build their personal brand? Here's what I would ask AI if I was them. Hey, ChatGPT, can you turn my personal brand into a from homeless bum into thriving entrepreneur? How do I do that? Let's keep watching this. This is obviously very sad, but I got to be honest, you know, the more I think about it, I am starting to see what the billionaires are saying, because what here's the billionaire's point. Okay. Let's give them a fair hearing. The billionaire's point is this: this family could live somewhere else. That's what they're saying. They're saying, hey, you live here today, but maybe not tomorrow. So let's finish this.
Agreement with Georgia Power to sell. Brown says if she didn't, the utility could have sought to acquire her property.
Here's how you do this. By the way, here's how you do this if you're going to do it. You got to give them like so much more than the value of the house. You got to go in and go, what's your house worth? $300,000, $350,000. Here's $2 million. Now your kids go to school and everything. Now, I'm not for this. I think this is all a big problem, and it's the extermination of the human race, which, if the government's listening, I hope they accept in a classy way. Be a classy gal or guy about it. But, you know, you got to give people a shitload of money. But let's keep finishing this, because this is interesting. This is our biggest, historic thing.
Could have sought to acquire her property through eminent domain, a legal process that allows private property to be taken with compensation for projects determined to serve a public purpose.
All power generation starts somewhere.
Holly Lovett is Georgia Power spokesperson.
Good.
Eminent domain is always, you know, a last resort.
Word up, hey,
and
baby.
It's something we never want to do.
To us, it's theft. It's literally a billion-dollar company stealing land.
We've heard
from
her point.
Smaller people. People who can't fight back.
You can't.
We don't have the money to fight Georgia Power.
So that's why a few months ago, Ansley took her story to TikTok.
My childhood home is being taken by Georgia Power.
Oh, God, TikTok.
She began
again.
Sharing stories of others in similar situations.
What is it taking from her? Look behind
here's, me. By the way, here's the point. Here's what that should happen. If they want to make a point, okay, I don't say anything lightly on the show. I consider everything I say, I consider. If they want to make a point about this, they have to blow themselves up or something. Like they have to strap bombs to themselves and blow themselves up. Go like, hey, you want our home? Well, guess what? We're going to do y'all a favor and we're going to fucking level it for you. Hey, Georgia Power. And see, then it might get some attention. But it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work because the AI people would go, oh, cool. And then, you know, but here's the thing. If you want to have a moral victory, you do have to be willing to become a suicide bomber. Folks, this whole thing is satirical. Look at this. We have the lobster here. But I'm saying this. She has to be willing to walk into Georgia Power with a suicide vest on and blow it up. And if she's not, there's nothing to do. You have to be willing to engage in become a suicide bomber. because she's right. She goes, we don't have the money to fight Georgia Power. You're absolutely right, but you have your jacket, and you could put a bomb in it, and you could walk into a building and blow it up. And that's going to, and I'm not calling for it. I don't want it to happen. This is a satirical program. But I will tell you this. You know, that's kind of the move, I think, for a lot of these people, unfortunately, that are encountering all this stuff, is they will have to start getting suicide vests. Because we always judge the suicide bombers when we grew up. We're like, those people are crazy. But now you're like, oh, maybe a lot of them just felt like they didn't have a choice. Truly. Truly. Now, I'm no fan of suicide bombing, and I would never, ever call for it or want to do it myself. But I am saying that if this family wants to fight back, it is maybe their only option is to start. Because think about American suicide bombers for a minute. Let's just let our mind go there. It is interesting, is it not? It is kind of interesting to think about, like, an American suicide bomber, like a Mall Godiva, that chocolate store, just blowing it up, and then it's just fudge, just chocolate everywhere, kind of like a Willy Wonka. Just walk into a Mall Godiva and just go, poof. All right, let's finish this here.
Taking this entire backyard.
What do you say to someone who will push back on any sort of offer that's out there and say, well, a price tag can't replace memories?
Oh, gosh. You know, it almost makes me emotional because I have those memories in, like, my house, and I get how deeply personal people's homes are.
But,
I would just say that
but
we see you and we hear you, and we want this process to be respectful and transparent.
You gotta blow it
and
up.
That is going to ultimately benefit.
You gotta blow it up.
You.
Brown doesn't buy that. And while she knows it's too late to save her home, she says she doesn't want to see this happen to anyone else.
My mom wants an apology. She wants an apology from Georgia Power. That's it.
And it's because of how she feels as if she's been treated?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for an entire year, they have bullied her, and there is no sorry. So that's what we want. We want an apology from Georgia Power.
Honey, put on the vest. baby cakes, you're not getting an apology. Put on the vest. Walk in to Georgia Power with that woman who just did that interview, and that woman who just did that interview, and say, I've been thinking about it, and I want to come in, and I wanted an apology from you, but I actually want to give you an apology. I understand that you're in a tough position, and I understand that you're just doing your job, and I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I'm just doing mine. And then the woman's going to look at her and say, thank you for understanding. You know? And then you just look at her and you go, inshallah.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.